Well, thank you, Renee. Be a great time in your life when you come to trust the potter, amen. Be willing to let him make out of you. Let him be in control. Good thing about that story, you read it there in the book of Jeremiah, good thing about that story is even when the vessel is marred, he can pick it up and make it over again. That's the good part, isn't it? I mean, it's all good, but say, so, well, I messed up. Well, we're all human. We do mess up. But the good part is the potter still loves us. Yeah. Don't throw us away. Picks us up and remakes us. Amen. Thank you for that message and song, Renee. Tonight be a little different. Many of you remember that we took up some offerings and brought in some materials and clothes and various things to help the folks in the Bahamas after the storm just got on top of them and tore everything up. And, you know, we need to keep this in mind. Our church family, in a real sense of the word, is scattered all over the world. And, you know, one part of the body hurts. The rest of us need to hurt with it. I have hit my finger with a hammer, and I found out the rest of my body was in sympathy with it immediately. You ever notice that? And so that's the way we're supposed to be, is God's body in a sense. And I was proud of our church. We helped out a lot in the Bahamas. We took up some considerable money. We brought in materials. Brother Mike Willis took his truck, drove down south. We got several airplane loads sent over to the Bahamas. Get through coughing in a minute. And you folks gave and you worked. We had the whole lobby down there, bottom of the radio station, just at one time, really full of stuff. And we still got some stuff, I understand, down there where the airlines are in the warehouse, and we thank God for that. It's being taken over. We had Brother Norris Bain with us. Brother Bain graduated our college something like 100 years ago, whatever, a long time ago. And like a lot of our grads in the ministry, one way or the other, and we're proud of the work God used him to do. But Brother Bain's ministry there was right under that hurricane, and it just wouldn't leave. It just parked on top of him. And he came and spoke to us, and we took up our first offering. Some more began to come in after that. But Brother Bain is back with us tonight, and I've asked him to share with us however he wants to. He may even have a few pictures to show us. I don't know. He's been running back and forth and trying to get things restored as much as he could over there. We did our best to send what we could, what was needed. He made one or two requests that I couldn't answer. He said, I'd like to have some skilled labor. I said, I would too. Most of you know what I'm talking about. So we've done everything we could except send him that. And if we find some, we'd probably use them here first. But right now, we don't have any of that, Brother Bain. But I'm going to ask him to come on tonight and share with us. And if you want to show a picture or something, whatever the tape room can do, but just update us, if you would, Brother Norris.
Thank you, Dr. Carter. Amen. A pleasant good evening. Good evening. Don't let me tell you how they say we go to ball games and we shout like I'm not gonna say Indians. We shout like crazy people, and then we come to church and sit like we're deaf. And so I'm gonna try that again. Good evening.
Good evening.
God's good.
Amen.
That's right. Okay, let's make sure we establish that. And then before I get going, where's Sister Carter? Where's your wife? He's picking on you. I called her house trying to find a husband, and like usual, he couldn't be found, right, Sister Carter? I'm on your side tonight. And she's telling me with the telephone and trouble she's been having with the telephone, but it was certainly good talking with her. I haven't talked with her in years, I guess, since I was a student here. Hadn't seen her. She's still young, look as young as ever. I can't say the same thing about Dr. Carter. I better watch myself before I get into trouble. But it is certainly good to be back here at Landmark and seeing some of the faces that I've known over the years. Brother Bill Bradley, he and I were in school together. Brother Pitt, I still remember your name. I mean, Brother Carter said I was here 100 years ago, and I met him here. So that tells you how long he's been here. And then I saw Brother Nixon, and I know some of you think I might not remember your names, but I do. And, of course, Brother Randy Smith. And then the Ogdens, I haven't seen the Ogdens around. Are they still here? The Ogdens still here? They moved on. And then I remember the guy we used to call the Brother Love, but I think he's gone on to be with Glory. Brother Thompson, I believe his name was. And so I've been here. I was here years ago, and I thank the Lord for all of the many valuable lessons that I learned here as a student of Landmark Baptist College. And just want to say to you, it's no mistake with God. And the song the young lady sang tonight is so appropriate. And I hope you young, and I never thought I would say this, you young preacher boys, I hope you paid attention. There's Alicia. I looked to my right and I saw Alicia. How you doing? It is good to see you. But I hope you you young men would take serious more than just the Bible lessons, but the practical lessons that you will learn from Dr. Carter and the other men that are here at this ministry. I tell you that it will impact your life for the rest of your life. It will make you better men because of the biblical truths that you will take from here. It will make you better men. It will make you better preachers. But more importantly, it will make you better Christians. And so it's very important that you pay heed for the purpose for which God has brought you here. And then I have come back tonight. I told Dr. Lee and I told Dr. Carter that I wanted to come back in person. I didn't want to send a letter. I didn't want to send a video. I wanted to come back in person and say to you, the people, the members, the pastor, the pastoral staff at Landmark Baptist Church, thank you. Thank you for your love and a demonstration of your love, first and foremost, to the local church in the Bahamas Tabernacle Baptist Church, and secondly, your love for the people of the Bahamas. A lot of people think that they want to see what happened or what has happened in the Bahamas. They really think that they can handle it. But I am telling you, as I sit and talk with older people in the 80s and 90s, the Bahamas has not seen a hurricane like Dorian, I'm told, since 1929. So can you imagine a hurricane like Dorian hitting the Bahamas in 1929 without all the technology, the warnings that we are now able to get? I sat with an uncle of mine, I didn't know, I lived in Tampa, he's about 86 years of age, and he told me today how his dad swam out with an axe to cut a boat loose in order to survive the storm of 1929. How he was told this story by his father. His grandfather told him, his dad told him what his grandfather did in order to loose a boat. And so a lot of people think they want to see what Dorian did in the Bahamas. A lot of people think they can handle what Dorian did in the Bahamas. And it's not until you get there that you realize the devastation and the destruction that was experienced. Last week, Assistant Superintendent of Police, Milton Johnson, who's a born-again Christian as well from New Testament, flew over to Freeport to spend a day with us. He wanted to see what it was like. And the devastation is very depressing. Very depressing, the amount of debris that is still on the island. Thank God that they are making some effort in trying to get the debris moved, but it is very depressing. But in the midst of it, God's people are carrying on. Last Sunday, we had 7 first-time visitors in church. Amen. 7 first-time visitors. Brother Johnson was there, and he saw the people coming on the church property to collect some of the stuff that you have. I've had to tell Brother John down at Sebring to hold on, because I'm telling you, you guys do not know. I would like to see what heaven is going to be like for the people of Landmark Baptist Church, for what you have done for the people of the Bahamas. Brother Wilton stood there and he said, Is it like this all day, every day? I said, yeah. I said, I have to tell people, hold on, we got to wait till school out. They're coming. They're moving your stuff. Dr. Carter, it's not being stored. We're not selecting who we give it to. As people come, we're giving out the material. We're giving out the food items, the clothing. We're giving out, and God's good. I didn't know Brother Wilton was going to be here the night prior to me coming over. And he heard that I was going to be, and he said, I'm going to come to church with you. And so he's an eyewitness to what I'm saying. He saw the people coming. He said, is it like this all day? I said, all day. People are coming, and we're giving them the stuff. And all the gospel tracts that you've sent, we've been able to put those in the packages and give them to people. So they're getting the gospel while we are serving them. The seven people who came last week Sunday for the first time to Tabernacle Baptist Church, although we're not yet in our auditorium, they got the opportunity to hear the gospel. And I look back and I said, this might not have happened. They might not have heard good, solid gospel preaching had this storm not come. I didn't want the storm to come, but the potter is in control. And we know this, these human eyes do not understand it all, but God is in control of all that is happening in our lives. And I'm telling you, as a result of this, my faith has grown. I've seen the hand of God in all of this. And so we certainly are grateful for what you've done and the impact that it is having on the island of Grand Bahama. I told someone, I'm pretty sure that we have touched between giving out the goods and the tracts. I'm pretty sure we've hit well over 15,000 people that we've impacted with stuff that we've been giving out. And the rest of the material that is down at in Sebring, I told Brother John, just give us an opportunity to get the building up, and then we're going to bring that out. We're going to have a big thing on the church ground on a Saturday where we'll give the gospel, and we'll give out all the rest of the stuff that you have down there in Sebring. But I thought it fitting for me to come back tonight and say thank you. And so I want to say on behalf of our church, our senior pastor, Pastor Woodside, on behalf of the people of the Bahamas, in particular, the people of the island of Grand Bahama, I want to say thank you. And I say thank you for all your goodness towards us. And I say that from a grateful heart for all that you have done for us. It is no surprise to me that God has blessed Landmark Baptist Church and College and all of its ministries the way he has blessed it. And it is a result of your giving to missions. I learned that when I came here. I could not believe a church had given so much to mission. And anytime a church has mission as that so big a part of its ministry, you know that they're very close to God, because missions is very close to the heart of God. And so I am so grateful for all that you have done for us. I have some pictures that I want to show you, and then I want to share a message with you, and then we can be on our way home. I told Brother Jeremiah to put some pictures together for us, so let's see what he has done. And I will try to share with you some of the photos there. This is the debris I'm talking about. I just stopped taking pictures after a while. I took Brother Wilton on a drive. I don't know, maybe I need to use the mic. I took Brother Wilton on a drive through some of the neighborhoods, and we just stopped because the debris is very depressing. He's in the back there. You ride through some communities. And of course, this is the church. We've actually taken up all the carpet. One good thing about the men, they're not lazy. They've ripped out all of the sheetrock. That's about 4 feet high in the church. They've taken out all that. The children got back in school, praise the Lord. They got back in school, and they were excited to be back in school. We couldn't put no pressure on them to wear uniform. I told Dr. Lee, we have a lot of students walking around school with Landmark Baptist Christian Academy on their chest. And that's church. We're meeting under the annex and pastors preaching. And so we've been, that's water. You cannot believe the amount of water. I've never seen so much water. We just had to gut out everything out of the church. And we had some people come in from Tampa that were helping us with trying to put the stuff in, and that's what we've done. So that I told Dr. Lee it was fitting for us to come back and show you where your money is going, what is happening with the gifts that you've been giving to us. We're getting the place. I wish I fell down. I should have taken some pictures of this. You see how this building is now? You need to see it now. And I'm going to send some pictures back to Dr. Lee and Dr. Carter. If I can get a hold of Dr. Carter's cell phone, I'm going to send I'm gonna send some pictures back. I know I can get Jeremiah, so I'm going to send some pictures to Jeremiah so he can. And there's the goods. That's the goods. People have been coming. That's my wife and some of the ladies from the church. They have been giving out the goods. My wife would have been here tonight, but praise the Lord, our oldest child graduated from medical school last night. So one of us is here in church, and the other one, she flew to Barbados on Thursday, flew back this morning. So she's in church in Fort Lauderdale this afternoon. And I wanted her to be here, but that was kind of impossible. We got any more pictures? It wouldn't come up? Oh. No more pictures. All right, preacher, you've got to. It's my fault. I should have been here earlier. Don't blame Brother Jeremiah. But there's a lot more pictures. He has a lot more pictures. And I'm sure that he'll figure out how to show them to you. But I want you to know that the ministry is progressing. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to go back into the auditorium. We'll be able to go back into the auditorium and begin services again on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday evening. And we'll be able to resume our service. We're one of the, like I said to you before, we're one of the few churches on the island of Grand Bahama. Much like New Testament and Baptist Bible in Nassau, we're one of the few churches that still meet in this fashion on a Sunday evening. Many churches have copped out and not doing it anymore. And for various reasons, they say. But we've been true to the faith, true to the book, true to the meeting of God's people. We've been true to that. But we on the road to recovery. I have one request of you, and I need all of you to be a part of this. I know Dr. Carter might not want to do it, but I need all of you to get behind him when I send this invitation to the church to make sure that he comes to the Bahamas for our celebration of and the rededication of our building. That's going to be very important to me that Dr. Carter is there. So Dr. Carter, will you make that commitment to me that you will be there tonight in the presence of all these people here? All in favor of Dr. Carter coming, please raise your hands. Thank you so much. You have been outvoted, so I know I will see you there. And so please, I will make sure I will take good care of your pastor and my pastor and make sure that he returns to you all safe and sound. But I definitely need him to come back. Come with me to the Bahamas once we decide to rededicate the building, because the people at Landmark have been such an instrumental part of us being able to get back on our feet. And once again, I say thank you. Just for a few minutes before we go, I want to share with you from the Word of God, just for a few minutes. I will take about 15 to 20 minutes and we'll be out of here. And I want to speak to you on the subject, do not look back now. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, the Bible says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, did this offend you? Then said Jesus unto the 12 in verse 67, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? A very popular businessman on the island called me a few weeks ago. He was seeking labor with some repairs for his church building. He heard that we had some men on the island, and he was seeking repairs for his church building. And if he was wondering if the men from that had come in to help with the church after the hurricane was still on the island, if they would be able to give him some help. And so I said to him, sir, they're no longer here. They have left. They've gone back to the U.S. But when they return, I didn't know your church had any damages, but we'll try to bring them by so that they would be able to give you some assistance as well and getting your work back up in order. And then he said to me, what about you? How are you doing? And I said to him, God is good. And he said, and thank God the boat is no longer in the front of my house. They moved it. The guy finally moved it this past week. He got it out of the way. It was a big boat, 40-foot boat. Man, I'm telling you, Brother Wilton got a chance to see the boat, and he was like, wow. How in the world did Dorian bring that boat over from where it was to its resting place? But it's unbelievable. So I said to him, God, yes, God is good. Linda Randall sings a beautiful song, God is God of the mountain and he's God of the valley. And a lot of time people don't understand that God is God of the mountain and he is God of the valley. And in our text tonight, if you would go up and see what takes place in this text, Jesus told all the crowd, all the disciples, everybody there, I am the bread of life. And if you want eternal life, you have to eat of the bread of life. They didn't understand that. They thought that Jesus was teaching cannibalism. But that was far from the truth. I'm telling you, if you're going to experience eternal life, you have to partake of the bread of life. You have to drink of the living water. But the Bible says that this was a hard saying for those people, for the disciples, for those ones that were following Christ. And as a result of it, many of his disciples followed him no more. Many of them left. Some of the saddest words in the Bible that I've read is recorded in John 6 and verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. When difficulties come, what are you going to do? Are you going to turn back? Are you going to turn your back on God? Are you going to no longer follow him? What am I supposed to do because I lost the home? What are we supposed to do because we lost a church building was damaged? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to throw in the towel and say, God is not God, and give up? No, we don't look back. Amen. We don't look back. We just keep pressing on. We find ways to get together. We find ways to keep meeting and talking and praying and praising the God of heaven. That's what we do. We do not turn back. You say, is it easy? By no stretch of the imagination. The young lady, that was a message and song. Do I crumble under the Lord? When the fire comes, what do I do? Do I run? Listen, I have a precious Bible, a precious King James Bible that has been precious to me all these years. The written word of God says that he is not going to put on me more than I can bear. So if he allows me to go through it, he knows that I can handle it. He knows that, hey, here's the beauty. He knows that he will be right there with me. My mind goes tonight on Job. And the devil, the Bible tells us, come from walking to and fro the earth. When he comes from walking to and fro the earth, God says to him, have you considered my servant Job? The devil says, yeah, but nobody could do anything to him because you've put a hedge about him. Yeah. Nobody could touch him. Why don't let's try moving that hedge and let's see what happens. Yeah. The Lord said, go ahead, just don't touch his life. Amen. Don't touch his life. Job's wife come to him after a series of events and says to him, curse God and die. Curse God and die. Job said, no, mama. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. Though worms eat this potty, you know what? One day I will see him. I will be like him. There are people, I don't know where Christians got this from. I don't know where this idea comes from that the Christian life is a bed of roses. It's not. It's not a bed of roses. I promise you that no matter what you go through, And before I promise it to you, the Lord God of heaven has promised it to you. No matter what you and I are going through, whether it's a hurricane in the Bahamas that is just ravaging a country, a little country that is so flat, whether it's a hurricane that's just changing the lives of people forever, or whether it's some financial reversal in your personal life, or whether you've gone to the doctor and the doctor said, diagnosed you as being terminally ill, whatever the situation is, as a child of God, I can rest in the fact that God will never, ever leave me. Amen. He has promised that he will be with me all the way to the end. No matter what I'm going through, I can trust him. I can trust him. I might not be able to see his hand in every situation in my life, but I could rest assured that his heart cares for me. And the same thing applies to you. No matter what you are going through in life, God cares for you. Listen, we may be bottling our tears in the night, and our pillows may, when we get away from it all, and when we lay upon our beds at night, and we are there laying down, and we're talking to God, and we're weeping, and we're crying, and it only takes the sweet Holy Spirit of God to comfort our hearts in the midst of all that we're going through. We can rest in the fact that God will never leave us. He will never, never leave us. He will never forsake us. God is good. God is awesome. God is doing wonderful things. Listen, our faith at the end of this, our faith will be even stronger. We will be better Christians as a result of all that we have gone through. We will be better as a result of it. Listen, I cannot turn back now. I cannot turn back now in spite of all that we're going through because of the offering made by Jesus for the whole world. But how can I complain about losing a house when God bankrupted heaven for me? Before the foundation of the world, the Bible said that God prepared a body for Jesus. And he came to earth and died for the sins of all mankind. Genesis 22 and 13, he told Abraham, lift up your eyes and look, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Isaac is walking with him. He said, Daddy, I see the wood, I see the knife, but I don't see the lamb. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 22 and 15, that the Lord will provide himself a lamb. Listen, how can I turn back when God has given me such a wonderful offering? I can't turn back now. Ephesians 5 and 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I cannot turn back. No matter what comes my way. Why? Because of the offering that Christ has made for me over 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross. And I'm so precious to him. My soul is so precious to him that if I was the only person in the world, he would still have made that offering for me. Thanks be to God. Listen, Charles Spurgeon said it correctly. My hope is not because I am not, but because I'm a sinner for whom Christ died. My trust is not that I'm holy, but being unholy, Christ died for me. Listen, my hope is built upon Jesus Christ's precious blood and his righteousness alone. I can't turn back, church, because of the offering that God has made for me. I can't turn back because of the opposition. Listen, people are watching. They want us to throw in the towel. They're asking, where's God now? Why did God allow that to happen to that church where that's been witnessing and taking the gospel out every Saturday? I think a couple of weeks before the storm, I called Dr. Lee and I said, Dr. Lee, and I shared it with Dr. Carter. I said, we're going in the right direction now. I said, we're out soul winning. There's a group of men that are soul winning every Saturday, going out, knocking on doors, talking to people about Jesus. We're heading in the right direction. I said, the church has turned. It's using it the way it should be. They're reaching into the school and bringing the young people into a youth ministry and preaching to them and teaching them. We got it right. We got to turn in the right direction. And a couple of weeks later, our building is ravished. I don't understand it, but God is in control. What do I do? Do I say, God, it's not worth it? No. I say, like the young lady sang tonight, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Paul. I trust you. Listen, I can't give up now because there are people who are watching to see how we respond in these situations. And as a result of that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to still praise him. I'm going to still thank him. I'm going to still give him glory. I'm going to still give him honor for all that he has done for us. Listen, I can't give up now. Can't give up now because of the offering made by God. I can't give up now because the opposition is watching. They want us to quit. They want us to throw in the towel. Listen, I cannot give up now because of the overflowing of the blessings of God. I can't stop now. God's been blessing us. Oh, man, this church and other churches, like Dr. Carter said, it's like they feel our pain. It's like they mash their finger. It's like they stub their toe. It's like they've been in a wreck. It's like they've gotten the bad news about the diagnosis. And they've come to our aid. And because of that, the people of Tabernacle Baptist Church, their faith has been refreshed. Why? Because of the overflowing of the blessings of the God of heaven. We cannot stop now because God has been pouring out his blessing from the days of Abraham straight up to today. Abraham was told by Jehovah he would bless him. Listen, I'm no politician, and I'm not getting in American politics, but I love Donald Trump. I don't agree with everything Donald Trump says, but I love Donald Trump. You know why I love Donald Trump? Donald Trump loves the nation of Israel. And people may not understand it. She's the apple of God's eye. He might not even know why he's being blessed. But God is blessing him because he loves his people. He loves his people. There are people in the Bahamas who watch what's going on here. And we say it all the time. We laugh at people when they get on Donald Trump. And we say, Donald Trump is saying what a lot of people want to say and don't have the courage to say it. And that's coming from a Bahamian. I can't even vote. But he knows that the scripture said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Whether he knows that or not, it's in the book. And God has promised that he will bless the nation of Israel. So when I get around people in the Bahamas, in the United States, and they start getting on Donald Trump, all I say is, they don't know any better. They've never read the Bible. Or they certainly have not been paying attention to what the scripture says. Do I agree with everything he does? No. But Lord, anytime it comes to the nation of Israel, I love him. When our country stood back and abstained from voting when he was moving the embassy to Jerusalem, I was ashamed. As a Bible student, I was like, no, Bahamas, you've got to vote for that move. You've got to vote for that move. In that move comes blessing for the Bahamas. I understand that. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. I can't give up now because of the overflowing of blessing. Can't give up. 1 Peter 3:9 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are dear unto call, that ye should inherit a blessing. God is a blesser. He's blessed me with salvation. Amen. The world didn't give it to me, and they can't take it away. Amen. What God does, the scripture says, he's doing it forever. So my salvation is eternal. Amen. I've been sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. When's the day of redemption? When Jesus comes in the clouds and he calls us to join him and to meet him in the air in the rapture. Listen, and he's coming for us someday. That's the blessings of the Almighty. He has spiritual blessings he has bestowed upon us. Man, I can't give up now because of all of God's blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Temporal blessings, eternal blessings. Man, the overflowing of blessings. God has kicked the honey bucket over in our lives. He is awesome. He's beyond awesome. He's wonderful. He's more than wonderful. He's great. He's the greatest of all time. Listen, we cannot give up because of the offering. We cannot give up because of the opposition. We cannot give up because of the overflowing of blessing. Listen, we cannot give up. We cannot give up because of the outcome. We cannot give up. We cannot turn back because of the outcome. My knowledge of this life is small. The eye of faith sometimes is dim, but it's enough that Christ knows all, as far as I'm concerned. Christ knows all. I might not know it all, but Christ knows it all. Ask me why the storm came. I know what the Bible says about why God sends storms, but what specific purpose has he sent it? I am not sure. But listen, I don't need to be sure because God knows all things. He knows what he's doing. And I know one thing, that one day I shall be with him. To those who have learned to love and trust Jesus, the prospect of meeting him face to face and being with him forever is the hope that keeps us going, no matter what life may throw at me. That's why I'm here. That's why I've not turned back. Because of the outcome, one day I will stand before God and I will give an account for everything that I've done in this body, for the work that I've done, for the way I've served him, the way I've loved him. My salvation is secure. But I want to hear him say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want my works to go up in fire. I want to be able to have crowns to throw back at his feet one day. And so because of the outcome, I can't turn back now. Listen, you say, do you want to be back in your house? Yes, I do. But I can't allow that to stop me because of the outcome. You say, do you want to drive a vehicle? Yes, I do. But I may get a little discouraged at times because I don't have one. And I may get a little frustrated at times because of the frustration that comes without having one. But I can't let that stop me. Because of why? Because of the outcome. One day it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Listen, we can't give up now because other Christians are watching us. Other Christians are watching us. My life shall touch a dozen lives before this day is done. Leaves countless marks for good or ill as sets the evening sun. This is the wish I always wish, the prayer I always pray. Lord, may my life help others' lives. It touches by the way. We can't give up now because other Christians are watching. You may think that you don't count in Landmark Baptist Church, but you count. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Somebody's watching you. Somebody's got their eyes on you. Proverbs 27:17, Solomon, the wisest writer to ever live, says, "Iron sharpen iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Somebody's watching you. You cannot stop now. You cannot give up now because someone is watching you. Other Christians are watching you. You said, what I'm doing doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You say, I'm only the usher, but it matters. They're seeing how faithful you are. You say, I'm only a bus driver, but it matters. You say, all I do is sweep the floor, but it matters. It matters. I remember one day picking up garbage around school and picking up stuff around school when I was the principal of the school, and a lady came up to me and said, "It's amazing. Most principals will not most bend down and pick up garbage off the floor. They'll find the janitor to do it." I say, you know why? I was taught that the greatest of us all is a servant. The Bible says Jesus came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I'm not dissolving the janitor of his responsibility, but you can never get too big to pick up a can. You can't never get too big to pick up a piece of paper off the church's floor. You can't never get too big to witness to somebody. You can't never get too big to tell somebody about the love of God and who God is. Somebody is watching you. Many are watching your walk, whether you realize it or not. They have their eyes on you. And I would say to you this evening that there are many people in Grand Bahama that is watching Tabernacle Baptist Church. They're watching to see how we respond. They're watching to see how we bounce back. They're watching to see if we're going to keep serving the Lord. But you know what? I called home this morning and I said to my sister-in-law, I said, how was church? She said it was good. She said it was full. So the people have not turned back. They're coming out. Last Sunday, Park House, Dr. Carter, the people were there. Now, they may be coming for the things you send, but nevertheless, they're there. And I think if we have a good idea, we need to keep giving them stuff to keep bringing them, then we'll have to do that. But they're there. They came for clothing, and they're going to get the gospel. Amen. They came for temporal bread, and they're going to get spiritual bread. Amen. They came because they wanted things, and they're going to hear the greatest sermon they've ever heard in their life. They're watching us, and our lives matter. Landmark Baptist Church, don't ever take this ministry for granted. You matter. Amen. I think Dorian, and there are many reasons why she might have come, but one of the reasons she might have came is for me to come back to say thank you. Thank you for pouring in me and making me into the man that I am today. Amen. All of the lessons I've learned. My mind is filled with them. From walking the beat around you as a security guard, yes, I did that. To coming in here and preaching at Preachers in the Making, and all the things that were done to pour into my life. You know why I'm loyal to my pastor? Because years ago, Dr. Lee and Dr. Carter may not even remember it. And I shared this with my pastor when I went back home. Whenever I see a young man rise up because he's been to Bible college against his pastor, I remember what was said to us in one chapel. You know, Dr. Carter didn't just get a cough tonight. He's always had the little cough. And he stood in chapel and he said, we're not training you to go over to be a smarty pants, to go back and take over your preacher's ministry and show how smart you are. Never forget these words. They said, the day you do that, mail back your diploma to us. Mail it back to us. Because that's not what we trained you for. That's not, we sent you back to be a blessing and not a curse. Amen. And I could safely say all of the guys, and Dr. Lee and Dr. Carter might not have kept up with us as much as Dr. Lee, but all those guys are back in the Bahamas serving faithfully. Terman is pastoring Lighthouse Baptist, Gospel Light Baptist Church in New Providence. Shelton is pastoring over in Winter Haven. Dwayne is pastoring over in Daytona Beach, Florida. Yeah. Those guys have gone back, and Zendel is preaching and teaching in the Bahamas. I mean, you name them. They're back in the Bahamas, and they're preaching the things that they've learned here. They are continuing. Yeah. Like Dr. Carter said, Landmark has a big net. And only eternity will reveal the impact of your ministry. It's a lot bigger than Ain't City, trust me. Amen. You have, Dr. Carter has children, or grandchildren, and great-grandchildren all over the world. And he needs to come to the Bahamas to see his grandchildren. Your life matters. Years ago, the communist government in China commissioned an order to write a biography about Hudson Taylor with the purpose of distorting the facts and presenting him in a bad light. They wanted to discredit the name of this consecrated missionary of the gospel. As the author was doing his research, he was increasingly impressed by Taylor's saintly character and godly life, and he found it extremely difficult to carry out his assigned task with a clear conscience. Eventually, at the risk of losing his life, He laid his pen down, renounced his atheism, and received Jesus as his personal Savior. Whether we realize it or not, our example leaves an impression on others. And so I say to you tonight, we can't stop now. Because other Christians are watching us. Other Christians are watching us. Like Jesus said in our text to the disciples, will you go also? And I love the response of the disciples. Lord, where are we going? Where are we going? How could I turn back now? Where are I going? Back to drinking? Back to smoking? My uncle gave my son $100 this evening. And then one of my friend in the back there called me and he said, I said, well, it's his $100. He could do it whatever he wants. It wasn't given to me. It was given to him. I said, the only objection I have is to alcohol and drugs. I didn't even know he was paying attention to me, but I heard his little voice from the back of the car said to me, why would I want to do those things? From what I've read, those things make you feel really bad. Why would I want to do that? Amen. Well, I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That means his eyes are watching. We can't give up now. We can't give up now. I say thank you. If you are not saved, this is how I've been taught. If you are not saved, and I believe that the vast majority of you in here are born again Christians. If you're not saved, don't leave this building without trusting him.
Amen.
Don't you dare walk out this building without trusting him. You could walk out this door and it could be the last time you ever hear a gospel message. If you are saved and you are a little discouraged, something you've been punched in the gut and you want to throw in the towel, you can't do it now. You've been told about some financial problems and your financial problems isn't bigger than God. You can't throw in the towel now. Someone hurt your little feelings and you want to get out of church and turn your back on God. You can't do it now. You can't do it now. You got to keep your eyes like a flint and just keep on keeping on for Christ. You got to love him because of the outcome. You're going to stand before him one day. Let's all stand to our feet. As Pastor Carter comes.
Let's bow our heads. Find what a message for us tonight. Could be it's for somebody in particular that was about to throw in the towel, about to quit, or saying, I just can't go on. What a message for us tonight. We can't quit. We can't go back. And as Brother Bain said, the outcome is going to make it worth it all. Jesus said to those disciples, will ye also go away? He said some hard sayings, and a lot of the crowd that maybe been following him for the loaves and fishes, perhaps, but they started leaving him. So he said to the faithful ones, will ye also go away? And they said, Lord, to whom would we go? And I ask you that tonight. To whom would we go? Oh, no. Father, we thank you for the preaching we just heard. We thank you for the message. Father, I pray you'd encourage every soul here tonight to realize we don't want to quit. We can't quit. There's no reason for us to quit because we're still with you and you're with us. We ask your blessing on the invitation as we sing a song. If there's one here without Jesus, we pray, as the preacher said, they'd not leave this building lost tonight. We pray for the soul right now. I pray, Father, in these troublesome times that we'd all draw closer to you. Thank you for the encouragement tonight of why we can't quit. Here's a preacher representing all his people and what they've just been through, and they lost their cars and their homes and their even church building tore to pieces, yet they're not quitting. They're going on. We thank you for that. Bless the invitation, I pray tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. What's God asked you to do? Anything tonight? It might be a good time to make a fresh commitment. Lord, I may have had some backsets, but I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm going to go on. Whatever God's asked you to do, will you do it? Maybe you need to come to the altar tonight and talk that thing out with God a little bit. How about it as we sing?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Brother Bert picked a good invitation song. No turning back. No turning back. I hope you renewed your commitment in your heart tonight. When things are going good, sun is shining bright, and there's plenty of money in the bank, a lot of folks can keep going. But how about in adversity? When the clouds have come and the storm is raging, how about it then? I sometimes said to folks, a little bit in a half-joking way, if it was easy, anybody could do it. If it was easy. No, you've seen a picture on TV or some commercial with an easy button. Young folks, there's no easy button. There is no easy button. There is a God button, though.
Amen.
That's the one you want to stay with, amen? I want you to go to Brother Bain tonight as we dismiss and let him know we not only set what we could, but we've been praying for him. Been praying for him very much. And I believe God is blessed and answered prayer, Brother Bain. Thank you for coming tonight and sharing with us.
Amen.
And for the good report, they're getting the job done. They didn't miss church. They kept church going. Under whatever adverse conditions it was, they kept church going. And they're getting results from that. And as he said, a lot of eyes are on them. And if our faith is just a good weather faith, it's not much. But it's the faith that stands the storm. Amen. Again, thank you for coming, Brother Bain. We appreciate you coming so very much. God bless you. Turn around, shake hands with somebody, and come and try to say a word of encouragement to Brother Bain tonight.